Should I be studying more? Should I be studying less? Should I just quit everything altogether? And ask Emma, I'm often like, what's the point of it all? How do I know what I'm meant to do? And if I knew what I was meant to do, great, then I'll work towards it. Is my life in line with God's purposes and plans for me? And the questions will go on and on in my mind. As I want my life and the direction that I'm heading to be aligned with God's bigger purpose for me. Maybe you find yourself asking these questions too from time to time. And as I was praying and thinking through it, this new year staring ahead of me, I felt like I was like a boat or on a boat in the middle of the ocean. But this boat doesn't have sails. I don't have a map. I don't have a compass and there's no breeze. I'm just there with water everywhere. And I wanted God to show me what he had for me and what he wanted for me. I wanted to know the direction of my life that he wanted me to go, what I should be working towards, and where I should be heading, achieving this purpose that God has for my life. And in the midst of all this thinking and these feelings that I had, I came across Matthew 10 in my Bible reading plan for the year, doing the New Testament of the year. If you're not doing a Bible reading plan for the year, I encourage you to do it. So I was reading Matthew 10, and verse 39 just hits me square in the eyes. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And as I meditated on this verse, I realized I was thinking about it all wrong. Here I am, focused on how I find my life. What is it that God wanted me to do? And what should I change to head towards it? Yet, rather than trying to find my life, I needed to be focused on losing my life for God. I was not going to be successful finding my life by this relentless seeking after and knowing why I exist and why I'm here. Those questions are good, but they're not to be the focus. I was rather to be losing my life, surrendering to the Lord, that would eventually lead me to find the answer to these questions that I have. So I share this personal experience, and it's a reflection for me, especially with the year, and it's a timely reflection, I think, for all of us, particularly with this new year upon us. And what better way to reflect than to look into the scriptures together and allow the Lord to speak to us individually on these verses. So if you're taking notes or you need those mental milestones like I do, we're going to address this passage and a few others related in three parts, and we'll have some reflections on the end. First of all, finding our life is foolish. Finding our life is foolish. Secondly, saving our life is senseless. Saving our life is senseless. And thirdly, losing our life for Christ is lasting. Losing our life for Christ is lasting. Well, if you're not already there, turn back to Matthew 10, verse 38 and 39. Verse 39 says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Christ puts it in a very matter-of-fact way. Anyone who sets their highest priority to fill their life with what makes them happy, what makes them satisfied for their own needs and desires, they are finding their life. To find, it's to discover, to learn, to see, to obtain. And it's a finding by a very focused examination. And there's often with it practice and experience. We see today's society, the world that we live in the culture, it's so consumed in finding meaning and purpose to our lives. We're told that we must have this, we must do that, if we're going to be successful and fulfilled. Got to have the greatest adventures, got to have the latest clothes, the fittest bodies, the biggest job titles, the nicest houses, the highest spiritual experiences, or the most likes and followers. It's the pursuit of happiness at all costs, the discovery of who we are and what we can achieve by our own efforts. Yet the scripture describes this person who is so bent on finding their own way in life as foolish. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 2 says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." It's harsh, but it's no less true. The person who is looking inwards or around them to find the highest joy, the highest fulfillment in life, and yet ignoring the truth and the reality of God and his word is foolish. I don't want to say that to people, but that's just how God says it. And if we want, let me rephrase. So what if we had everything we ever wanted? What if we actually found our life and discovered it to the fullest and achieved everything we possibly could? There's something called Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and basically the highest one is this self-actualization. And they say very few people will get there, the likes of Richard Branson or Bill Gates, whoever, who basically don't need anything from our point of view. What if they or we were actually satisfied in life, content through our own efforts and means? Well, again, it's all worthless compared to the value of our eternal soul. Christ says immediately after what we read, "He that saveth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life shall find it." Says, "For whosoever will save his life..." I'm reading it. Verse 26. "For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world, gets everything he ever wanted, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" See, our pursuit of temporary happiness and gain, it's just utterly insignificant. It's completely useless compared to the eternal life that God offers to us all. And the man, woman, or child who intends on finding joy and fulfillment in their life through this discovery and experimentation without God in the picture will ultimately destroy it. And whether people will admit it or not, yes, there are pleasures in temporal pursuits and achievements outside of God. They are for a season, and they eventually end in bitterness and emptiness. David says in Psalm 16, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God." Something other than God, something other than God that is worshipped and pursued after. Sorrows will be multiplied. I'm given a very specific example in Proverbs 5. "For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." Sounds good. "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." It ends badly. See, they who seek to discover their life's purpose, find fulfillment, meaning, contentment outside of God will ultimately ruin their life. At the very least, for all of eternity. How are you and I subtly finding our own way in life? Maybe some thoughts or desires that we might have could include, "If I just had such and such, then I'd be happy. Or if I could only do this, if I could only do that, then I'd know I've made it, done. Or if I only knew about X, then I would be at peace. Or when I finally experience Y, then I will be content, be done." See, even my noble desires that I shared earlier to know God's purpose for my life could be seen as self-centered as I reflect upon it. See, the object being the knowledge of my future rather than of God himself. finding our life apart from God, as the scriptures say, is just foolishness. It's blunt of a word, but it's nonetheless true. Are our motives, are they based on what we feel we need or want, or what God shows us and leads us in? If it is for our own sake, then we're trying to discover life our own way, and it won't work. Well, that's finding our life. What about saving our life? Saving our life is senseless. And Christ warns not just about finding our life, but saving it. He says in Matthew 16, verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." So anyone who seeks to protect or to maintain what they currently have, the things that bring them happiness, comfort, peace, might be relationships, might be possessions, who knows? Anything that they hold on to, that they have for their own needs, is someone who's saving their life. And Christ emphasizes the loss one faces who's trying to save their life, not once, but three times. Matthew 16, what we just read, but also in Mark chapter 8 and Luke chapter 17. To save one's life is to deliver, to protect, preserve, or rescue it. It's avoiding danger, suffering, damage, or peril. It's this all-consuming and determined holding on to keep that which we have, or to rescue it from loss. And Christ gives a very vivid example of someone who sought to save their life, but they ended up losing it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17, and we'll see this third usage of this paradox that Christ shares. Luke chapter 17. From verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Remember Lot's wife. See, even after a warning from angels of Sodom's immediate destruction, after the miraculous protection from its citizens and a personal escort by angels, Lot's wife wanted what she left behind. She valued it. She wanted it saved. Her heart and her life, as it were, was still in Sodom. She looks back as the fire and the brimstone destroy everything she valued. There were her married children that were still there, her wealth and her possessions, her friends, and her position of influence as the wife of Lot, who sat in the gate as a judge. And in this hope of what she treasured, what she wanted saved, she lost her life. We're told that she became a pillar of salt, instantly gone. See, God's warning to us is consider whether we are protecting what is valuable to us for our own self-centered needs. Matthew 6, 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where neither moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." See, we cannot maintain or protect what we have on our own. Our efforts by themselves, they are futile. In fact, to think we can try to preserve, rescue, or store what we have is senseless or foolish. Matthew 12. Turn to Matthew 12. Should just be a few pages from where we were before. In verse 16, we are told of the parable of the rich man and his barns. It's in verse 16. Turn that myself. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall be those things be which thou hast provided for? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, they who seek to preserve and protect what earthly treasures and pleasures or relationships they have, they cannot be kept forever. And those who tightly hold on to the things they possess or enjoy as if their life depended on it, at the expense of trusting God or putting Him first, will ultimately ruin it. Maybe some common thoughts that we have around the things in our life that we're trying to save include, if I lost such and such, I don't know how I could go on. If I could just keep this or that, then I would be okay. I would not know who I am if I didn't have this. Or I must protect that at all costs. See, saving our life without trusting God is senseless. We have no control over it. Are our values and our treasures and our hopes based on what we own or what we have? Do they define our life? Do we rely on them to provide peace, comfort, meaning, fulfillment? Do we prioritize them above God? If so, then we are trying to save our life on our own. Well, then there's the paradox that Christ provides. Losing our life for Christ is lasting. And for finding or saving our life, and we see that it's fruitless, are we to just wander in darkness, unclear as to why we're here, what our purpose is? How do we find joy, peace, contentment? Well, Christ, as the light of the world, certainly does not leave us in darkness. Back in Matthew 10, verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. See, in mankind's economy, you win by earnestly seeking, striving, protecting, finding, preserving at all costs. You get there first. You be the strongest, the smartest, the bravest. Yet God's economy is dramatically contrasted. You win when you lose. Success is surrender. To lose our life is literally to allow it to be killed or destroyed. It's a life that is destitute, alienated, cut down. There's nothing left over. Now, it's not so much a physical death, although there are brothers and sisters in the Lord, both now and in times past, who have actually gone through a physical death. But I think for us here now, it's not so much this physical death, but rather it's the losing, the death of our will, our desire, our plans, our expectations, the hopes and dreams that we have given up for sacrifice to God. See, picture our life as a big house and a nice block of land. In losing our life, we allow that house to be destroyed, completely demolished, clearing the land that something might be rebuilt again. But I want you to pay special attention in verse 39. It's not just losing our life, but it's losing it for Christ's sake. There are plenty of well-intentioned people in the world who sacrifice their lives for other causes. World hunger, endangered species, education, the list goes on. And these aren't bad in themselves. Yet, if that's what their hopes and their dreams are based upon, if they're not based upon a life lost for Christ and the gospel, then it is still a life lost. In losing our life for Christ's sake and the gospel's, the promises we see in Matthew 10, we will find it. Again in Matthew 16, we will find it. In Luke 17, we read earlier, we will preserve it. In Mark 8, says, we will save it. And in John chapter 12, we will keep it. When we yield our life to God, we will walk the path of life. And yes, there will be ups and downs in it. But we will still experience a fullness of joy and a blessing both now and for all of eternity. Losing our life for Christ's sake, finding it, and keeping what mankind so desperately longs for, it must be on God's terms, not ours. And losing our life has the same start at the gospel, the good news of Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is summarized how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, as it was prophesied for hundreds and thousands of years beforehand, so it was done. The innocent and the holy one, Son of God, died in the place of sinners. You, me, everyone. It's acknowledging that we're answerable to God and that we will stand before him in judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's confessing that we are guilty, rebellious, self-centered, that our ways, our works to reconcile to God, to come to God, fall short. It's accepting God's gift of salvation by Christ alone. And it's dying to our way of salvation, our ideas or our efforts or our own estimation of our goodness. In doing so, we gain eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, losing our life does not end there. Rather, it starts there. And as God's children, he is committed to transforming us like him. Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Yet we need to allow God to perform this good work in our lives. It's dying daily to self, allowing his will to be done in our life. It's seeking God's will before our own. It's giving our time to God rather than filling it with our own plans and our own agendas. It's letting God have the final say in the decisions that we need to make, not us. It's obeying the Spirit's leading each day. It's reading our Bibles each day and living it out. Losing our lives for Christ's sake is just more than to God, though. It's also for others. Christ says in Matthew 25, verse 40, and the king, being Christ, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. It's more than just losing our life to God, although he is the priority. It's also for others. It's putting others' needs before our own. It's loving our neighbors more than us. It's focusing and thinking about others than we do ourselves. It's prioritizing their wants and needs above our own. See, every part of our life is to be open in our hand before God, ready for it to be taken or shared, given away or replaced. It means sacrifice, letting go of our ways, our wishes, our ideas, our desires, our comforts, our hopes, our expectations, our dreams. And there is very clear guidance and direction from God on what a life lost looks like. We just looked at one being salvation. Yet the reality is there's still a lot of grey area. Losing our life for Christ's sake can be different for each person. And God knows this. In Matthew, well, it doesn't matter. If you're in Matthew 16 or Matthew 10, it's the same. It's the first verse. It's either, if you're in Matthew 10, it's verse 38. And if it's in Matthew 16, it's verse 24. I'll be reading from Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. See, it's taking up his cross and follow me. We are all unique. We have different strengths, we have different abilities and different limits. And God knows this, and he knows us as individuals. And for this reason, we don't take up the same cross. See, one's sacrifice and lost life may look different to another. It's a personalized cross that we can bear with God's help. And it's well fitted for us. Matthew 11, 28, Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, this yoke, a symbol of the work and purpose God has called us to, is easy. What this means is it's tailor-made for us. It's specialized, and it caters to our uniqueness and our individuality. See, we can be comforted that as we lose our life for Christ's sake, and take up our cross, that what we find ourselves doing is easy, and the burden is relatively light. Now, I by no means confess that it is easy to lose our life for Christ's sake, and just because I am sharing this, I'll be honest, I'm probably further back than where I thought I was a few weeks ago, and I'm going to need your help to continue to lose my life for Christ's sake. In fact, when I think about it, it's hard and it's scary. I don't like to give up or forfeit what I value. I like to be in control. I like to have certainty. I don't like uncertainty. I don't like an unknown future. No one enjoys discomfort and even suffering. Yet, we can be confident in the one in whom we lose our life to. God's promises to us, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, a good end. Psalm 119, verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Don't worry about the hows in losing your life to God. Don't dwell on the what ifs. Focus on the who, on God. He is far better at finding and saving our life than we are or ever will be. God does a better job helping us discover and fulfill what our life purpose is. He does a better job protecting and preserving our life than we ever could. Losing our life for Christ is lasting. It brings fullness of joy, purpose, and meaning. It's hard work trying to find and preserve our lives. We're not able to do it on our own. We can only do it in the power of God, in a life yielded over to Him, seeking Him, and He uses us for His glory and for our blessing. So some closing reflections and thoughts. If we look into this year ahead, we're either going to be doing one of four things. We're going to be trying to find our life. We're going to be trying to save our life. We might be losing our life, but for earthly endeavors. Or we're going to be losing our life to God. Proverbs says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Those who are trying to find their life or preserve it, they will lose it. It will not last. People go through so much trouble, hardship and labor to find or save the purpose or the meaning, the joy, the fulfillment of their life. Yet that yoke is uncomfortable and the burden is heavy. It does not work without God. Stop trying to discover life and fulfill your desires at the expense of yielding and surrendering to God. Stop trying to protect what you have at the expense of surrendering to God. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. All the things that we have mean nothing. That's not where our life, the meaning of it, comes from. See, what holds us back from losing our life to God? It's pride, which holds us back. As we say, we can find our life our own way, on our own terms. And it's fear that holds us back as we are fearful of losing what we have, saving life our own way. If we're consumed in discovering the meaning and the purpose of life, our life, why am I here? What am I to do? Or preserving it, we will miss out on God's best. And worse still, we will destroy what we already have, if not in this life, for all of eternity. Now maybe you're seeking God for direction and purpose, ready to lose your life for Him. Maybe you're rethinking your life as this world around us is certainly becoming more volatile, more uncertain, more ambiguous. Be encouraged. Your life has divine purpose and it has eternal significance. God has the best intentions for you, for all of us. He knows you, He knows us personally, and He loves us as individuals. As you yield and surrender yourself to Him, we find God's meaning and plans. He has a purpose for our life. So let's be sincere and ask God, what am I finding? What am I saving? What am I not giving over unto you? What in my life is holding me back from surrendering to you? Don't ask it now, though, or just now. Ask it often. And more importantly, ask it with a willingness to actually accept the answer. See, by losing our life to Christ, we find what our best life can be. We find true meaning, a true relationship and joy in God. So with this new year upon us, be determined by the grace of God to continuously and completely yield and give our life to Him, to lose our life to Him every day. Only then will we find our life, and it will be exceedingly, exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think.